right, welcome back to the Brandon Lowe Show. Here on 1300-1340 The Jock. 304-721-9789. If you want to get a hold of me here in studio, again, 721-9789. Let's talk some Marshall sports with my guy, WSAZ Sports Director Keith Morehouse. Keith, welcome back to the Brandon Lowe Show, my friend.
Hey, Brandon, thanks for having me. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I was just talking about, I feel like it should be, I'm already in the weekend. I was doing high school football on Monday here in Kanawha County, and that Kanawha County schedule has been brutal.
It has been, although I got to tell you, it's not been a bad thing to have high school football highlights on a Monday and a Tuesday. So it gives us a little something to do, but for planning purposes and coaches and players, it is a little bizarre, that's for sure.
Of course, it gives you something to talk about finally over there. What were you guys doing showing highlights of zoo animals, the kittens? What were you doing with the sports desk over there with all that stuff going on?
Yeah. Water skiing, squirrels. No, I mean, for the long time, especially in the early going, once March 12th hit, when everything stopped, it was just like, whoa. And a lot of it was just reporting on who wasn't going to play. And then we started, we had to jump into doing a lot of features with just athletes who were working out at home and just had to get a little creative. And it was, I'll be honest, it was tough. Wouldn't want to go through that again. So having the games and the, even in the COVID era is better than not at all. So, yes, we're very appreciative of that for sure.
Give me your quick take on how the, the color code map, there's been a lot of speculation and back and forth. The SSAC came out and said that, the four-game minimum, you have to play that. And then they turned around and said, well, if you're in red or orange heading in, you can't play in the postseason. And I think that's it's bad, obviously, for the players and coach, especially if you play a season. If you have a good season, like you're looking at Dodgers County right now, and they haven't played for the last 2 weeks. I don't know what they're going to do if they're in postseason play and a county goes orange or red. That's one thing I haven't heard. What's kind of your overall take on the decisions from the SSAC?
Well, I'll first give them the benefit of the doubt. Obviously, it's a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic.
Yeah.
And so everything is you're kind of making decisions as you go. I do feel bad for the kids. I don't know if the color-coded thing was the best idea, and it's easy for me, not being a scientific expert, to say that after the fact, but I'm just not sure that's the best barometer of, how your school district is handling the pandemic. And for instance, schools over in Ohio and Kentucky have kind of gone on their own without an overarching color-coded chart to let them know if they come up with some problems and they shut it down. And so I think maybe district by district, school county by county, maybe would have been a better way to go without, just having an edict from on high. But it's tough, but I do feel really sorry for those kids who are trying so hard. And sometimes, Brandon, as you know, it's not really what the kids are doing that causes the problem. It's what's going on in their county that maybe they have nothing to do with.
Yeah, I've said that jokingly on the show, but it's true. Marge over at Mimi's spending all her pennies and getting COVID should have nothing to do with what these athletes and these kids and these teachers and everybody being put through. But unfortunately, that's where we're at. And we just got to abide by the guidelines and all that and do the best we can, especially with the CDC and things that they're doing. And testing's a huge part. The governor keeps talking about testing. The counties keep talking about testing, and that is a huge part, not only for the numbers and where you're at with the callers, but mostly because, hey, you're going to find out if you have it or not, and that also is a good way of trying to stop the spread.
Well, yeah, you're right, and high schools aren't like colleges and professional sports franchises that can afford to test. A lot of these, major college conferences, and I know West Virginia and Marshall are doing it like three times a week, but that's not a luxury that high schools have. And so, yeah, you have this situation where you're asking the kids to go out and do the right things, but maybe some people in their county aren't doing the right things, and maybe the bars are open. I mean, there's a whole plethora of things that could, skew what's going on with infections, and they don't have anything to do with it. So it's tough. It's really tough, but, it's also tough for, just regular students who are going to school. My wife's a school teacher, and there are all kinds of, limitations on what they're doing and concerns about kids being in school and interacting, and so it's all new to everybody, but I just think sometimes the kids are the ones that are caught in the middle.
Certainly. Speaking with Keith Morehouse here on the Brandon Lowe's Show on 1300-1340 the Jock, WJYPAM.com, to stream. That's the thing, too. My daughter's in kindergarten, so she really needs that hands-on instruction. A lot of kids do. My son's in fifth grade. Keith, I'm not the smartest guy, but I did finish high school with college credit trig, so I was pretty good at math. English wasn't my thing, but my son was showing me some basic algebra, and my brain almost exploded. It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh, man.
Yeah.
I feel for you going through that stage. My kids are older than that, of course, but, it's hard. And for parents and, you know, who have jobs, and I think one thing it has done is make us appreciate teachers a little more, what they do every day,
yeah,
in terms of being huge, huge emphasis and influences in our kids. And, it's tough. It's not the way learning's supposed to be. It doesn't foster the best learning environment when you got to do it online. And I agree. I think the classroom experience is the best. It's just, how do you do that safely? And that's the $64 million question for sure.
All right, let's talk some Marshall football. Let's start there. Definitely a great season so far. Marshall's 4-0 for the first time since 2014. The Open Conference USA play. With some impressive wins on the road. You had Western Kentucky by 24 points, and recently there against La Tech, an 18-point victory. Give me your overall take. Let's start with the offense. Grant Wells, of course, Brendan Knox in the backfield, and he's got some experience there. Great back. Line's playing well. He got some wide receivers. Let's start with the offense. How impressed have you been with Grant Wells in an offense?
Well, you're right. It starts right there with Grant. I don't know that any coach will look you in the eye, Doc, or any of the, Tim Kranzi or any of the offensive coaches will look you in the eye and say they thought he would be this good this quick. I mean, he's obviously, we remember him from high school. He had all the tools and still does. But, you know, it's different when you got to come out and play, you know, Division I football and you hadn't started a game in a year and a half or so. So for him to come out and manage the game as well as he has and make the throws that he has been really impressive. And I think that's obviously helped the offense, you know, all the way around, because everybody knew what you had with Brendan Knox, and they had, you know, all five starting offensive linemen back. So that's certainly a good thing for your quarterback. But for him to be able to, you know, open up the offense a little bit, make some throws and, you know, roll him out and put in some packages that they haven't been able to do for a while. I think it's for the first time in a long time. And you can't underestimate, Brandon, the chemistry. I mean, he has his teammate support. He supports his teammates, and that's such a big deal in football. And I'm not sure they've had that at the QB position, you know, 100% buy-in like they have right now. So that makes a big difference. And Grant has taken the ball, and, you know, he's just, they handed him the keys, and he took over and hasn't looked back. He's got, you know, all the skills, and he's got a lot of moxie, I think, in my mind. He doesn't let mistakes bother him. He seems to just say, all right, let's go to the next play, and that's what he's been able to do so far.
Yeah, it also helps when you redshirt, too, because you're able to come in and you're able to kind of step back and see how it's done. I thought that was big for someone like Grant. And obviously Doc and his staff are really good at developing young players as well. I think that's one thing that's very underestimated with this staff is how they're able to develop guys. And then when Grant was announced as a starter in that first game, you're thinking, well, are they just trying this out? And it's Eastern Kentucky, and, you know, we're going to see how this kid does. But, man, he's really blossomed. And I remember just watching Grant play at GW. And I thought the kid was very talented. I just didn't know, like you said, or even these coaches, that he was going to come out like he did, his first year and his first start.
Yeah, he obviously has confidence in his arm. I mean, he's got a big time arm, but you know, again, to do that, you know, when everything's on the line and you haven't, like you said, played in a year and a half, and he did, I think, I believe he did come to Marshall early and enroll early, and so yeah, he's been studying that playbook, and but you just don't know sometimes how a quarterback's going to do, and that extends all the way up to the NFL, right? You know, you see these talented players come in, you go, oh, this guy's got it all. But then it doesn't materialize. And for Grant, it has. And, you know, to his credit, he's stepped up and done everything they asked of him. And, of course, the biggest thing is he's taking care of the ball. I think he's got two interceptions, which is, you know, pretty good numbers for a freshman who hasn't started at the Division I level. So combine that with the fact that he can make some serious throws, and he can, and they like to roll him out, and he's athletic. He can run the ball. So it just opens up their offense and the packages that they run, because he's got a skill set that fits that system.
And certainly a smart kid. If there's anything in Grant Wells, he's done, even in high school, you saw it, some of the things that he improvised on and reading defenses, and you can just see his football IQ is extremely high as well.
Yeah, and he handles himself well, and, you know, it's not easy to deal with the media every week, and they put him right out there, and he's, you know, looks like a seasoned guy. And funny, and this is an interesting story, Brandon. I was over in Grayson, Kentucky on Friday night. Chad Pennington brought his team in. He coaches a high school team in Lexington Sayre, and they're undefeated. The program's only been back on track three years ago. He reinitiated football. It had been dormant at that school since 1976. So it's the smallest level in Kentucky, Class 1A. But his team's undefeated. But I was asking him questions before the game, and then I brought up Grant Wells and Marshall, and he said it's the first time in a long time he's seen that chemistry, and he was extremely complimentary of Wells. And, you know, if Grant continues to play like he has right now all the way through the year, you can make an argument that he may have the best freshman quarterback season of any quarterback in history, and that's saying a lot when you're talking about Leftwich and Pennington and Rakeem Cato and those guys. So yeah. When Chad gives you compliments, then you know that you're doing the right thing at the quarterback position.
Hey, before I talk about the defense, because obviously I want to talk about that, have we heard any more about Chad's son? I know there was interest there, obviously, from Marshall. Have we heard anything from Chad's son about potential there as far as playing at Marshall?
I was watching the other day. He's a little bit more, he's a big kid, just about the same size as Chad. A little more muscular, I think, than Chad was as a high school guy. But, you know, he's got the offer from Marshall. I think he's got some more. So I don't know when he plans to make a commitment and to stick with it. But you know, whatever the kid does, he's gonna be good at it. And who knows? Maybe he'll decide, you know, my dad was there and blah blah blah. Maybe I'll go somewhere else, or maybe he says I want to go there. I mean, he's got a lot of love for the university just because of his dad's history there. So we'll see. He hasn't intimated when he's going to make a decision, but I'm sure, you know, Chad will coach him through it, and whatever he decides to do, he'll be good at.
So yeah, certainly.
We'll see what happens with him.
Yeah, certainly. The Herd outscoring opponents 37 to 10. I'll just round up there through four games. I always like how they do that 0.3, 0.8. It's like, let's just round up there.
Right.
But that has a lot to do with that defense. They're sitting at number 5 in the country. They have not trailed all season long. When you have that dynamic of your offense clicking and your defense is clicking, it's very hard to lose football games. I mean, it's a pretty simple game at times, but when your defense is playing the way they're playing right now, it makes it that much harder to lose games. Right, Keith?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, if you watch that Louisiana Tech game, I mean, that defense set the tone on the first series. I mean, they get the interception, and then started, you know, right down the field with it. And that Louisiana Tech couldn't block them up front. And it's not like they were blitzing a whole lot. But they've, you know, the front four has done really well. They haven't had to, you know, bring extra heat sometimes. But the linebacking crew has really been, I think, you know, one of the keys. They had Tavonte Beckett, who's a tremendous talent. But then a couple of new guys, Eli Neal and Abraham Beauplane, have come in. And they've done really well. And Owen Porter from Spring Valley came in last week and played a lot and made some plays. So you get that coupled with the front four, Jamari Edwards and those guys, and they're making an impact up front. And then the back end playing well too. What they've done, I've noticed, Brandon, is they've just been really good tacklers in open field, and that's what you got to do at this level, because everybody's got athletes, and if you let a receiver make a play and get away, then you know it changes the game. So they've been good tackling. They've gotten pressure on the quarterback without having to blitz too much, and they've kind of set the tone, and they've got depth, so they've been able to run a bunch of guys in where, you know, you're not having to play too many reps. So I think the defense has been outstanding. I agree with you.
6 sacks there in that win over La Tech, 35-17, allowed just 7 yards rushing, by the way, which is 11th fewest by a Thundering Herd opponent in school history. Marshall 4-0, and they'll face Florida Atlantic Saturday at 2:30. It's homecoming, so that's always fun when you have the homecoming game. And you can catch that on Fox's regional networks, Fox Sports Go app, and Stadium Plus on YouTube TV. And, of course, they're back in the national polls. They were at 25 earlier there in the AP, and they're in the coaches' poll since I didn't know this first time. They're at 20 for the first time since 2014. So back to that year of 2014, Beef.
Yeah, they've gotten some recognition. They were in early after they got that win over Appalachian State. But then, you know, they're, depending on which poll you look at, which, you know, mostly we just follow the AP poll and the coaches' poll. And at that time when they were starting to rank the Big Ten teams who haven't played yet, the Pac-12 teams that hadn't played yet, they knocked Marshall out of the top five.
And, that's crazy.
You know, Coach Holliday and the players say, you know, just got to keep winning. And they like the respect, but they understand that it's fleeting if you don't take it seriously. So, yeah, homecoming this weekend, FAU comes in. They've only played one game. They've had some serious COVID issues, but for all that we're hearing, they're gonna come up and play. And so, you know, that's hard when you only have one game to look at from your opponent, and Marshall's four games in. But, you know, I think, you know, early on, just from the get-go, it looks like that it's going to be, you know, maybe Marshall on the east has the best chance to win it, and UAB on the west, and, you know, we'll see where the season goes, because you take nothing for granted in this year, that's for sure.
For sure. A lot of parity around college football, a lot of parity around a lot of sports. I mean, you look at the NFL as well,
yeah.
So just a lot of parity. But, Keith, appreciate your time on the show, man. Good catching up, good talking Marshall football, and, you know, hopefully Marshall can get another win, and I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Hey, Brandon, thanks for having me, and you keep up with that trig homework with your kids, man. They'll teach you some things, that's for sure.
Appreciate it, Keith. You take care.
All right, take care.